Good morning and welcome to our site. This morning I have entitled our message, The Power of a Good Testimony. There's nothing so powerful as an authentic Christian experience. Please have your Bible with you so that we can turn to two passages of Scripture. I want us just to listen in for a while to the powerful testimony of the prophet Samuel in the Old Testament. So we'll look first in 1 Samuel chapter 12. And then we'll be back in Acts and Acts chapter 20 this morning. And so please turn with me, if you have your Bible, to the first book of Samuel in the Old Testament, and it's Samuel's farewell speech. And in chapter 12 and verse 1 we read, Samuel said to all Israel, I have listened to everything you said to me, and have set a king over you. Now you have a king as your leader. As for me, I am old and gray. My sons are here with you. I have been your leader from my youth until this day. Here I stand. Testify against me in the presence of the Lord and his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Whose donkey have I taken? Whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? From whose hand have I accepted a bribe to make me shut my eyes? If I have done any of these things, I will make it right. You have not cheated or oppressed us, they replied. You have not taken anything from anyone's hand. Samuel said to them, The Lord is witness against you, and also his anointed is witness this day, that you have not found anything in my hand. Just so far, and then skipping along to verse 16 of the same chapter. Verse 16, Samuel said, Now then, stand still and see this great thing the Lord is about to do before your eyes. Is it not the wheat harvest now? I will call upon the Lord to send thunder and rain, and you will realize what an evil thing you did in the eyes of the Lord when you asked for a king. Then Samuel called upon the Lord, and that same day the Lord sent thunder and rain. So all the people stood in awe of the Lord and Samuel. The people all said to Samuel, Pray to the Lord your God for your servants, so that we will not die, for we have added to all our other sins the evil of asking for a king. Do not be afraid, Samuel replied. You have done all this evil, yet do not turn away from the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Do not turn away after useless idols. They can do you no good, nor can they rescue you, because they are useless. For the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people, because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. And I will teach you the way that is good and right. Be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. Yet if you persist in doing evil, both you and your king will be swept away. Just so far in that Old Testament reading, and I'm sure you could see coming through there loud and clear, the authentic testimony of the prophet Samuel, who was able to testify before the people and hear them responding in affirmation that his life has been blameless before them, that he has done no wrong, that he has been a man of integrity and faithfulness. What a powerful testimony. Now we turn to our passage in the Acts in the New Testament. So please turn with me now to Acts and chapter 20. As we hone into Paul's third missionary journey that we have been looking at these past Sundays. And this morning we're going to skip the riot that broke out in Ephesus, which we read about in chapter 19 and verse 40. We're going to skip the Guinness record of the longest sermon ever preached, when Paul preached for so long that Eutychus fell asleep and then fell out of the third story of the building, and was found dead, but Paul prayed for him and raised him to life again. Oh, I tell you, never a dull moment when the Holy Spirit is at work. But this morning we're going to hone in on the Apostle Paul's testimony, his farewell address to the Ephesian elders. And so we find that in Acts chapter 20 from verse 17. Acts 20 in the New Testament and verse 17. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you, from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Holy Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." What a testimony! Let me repeat that verse. "I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." Just so far, and may God bless his word to us this morning. What a wonderful passage of Scripture, bearing testimony to the power of an authentic Christian testimony. Do you have a testimony to share this morning? If I ask you to share your testimony this morning, what would you say? Could you share with us a personal account of your journey with Christ? How it all began, how you came to know personally God's great gift of salvation in Jesus, and how you've been following Jesus and been on mission with God every day since your conversion. You see, so often when Christians give their testimony, all they can tell you about is how they made a decision for Christ, perhaps many years ago, when they were born again, to use Jesus' phrase, or how they received the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. And friends, that's wonderful. But that was just the start. That was just the beginning. Jesus said, "By their fruits you shall know them." In fact, he said, in that judgment day when we all stand before the Lord, not everyone who said, "Lord, Lord," during their lifetime will be entering the kingdom of God, but only those who did the will of the Father who is in heaven. The reality, the authenticity of a good testimony is the faithful obedience to Christ that follows the conversion experience. James puts it succinctly when he says, "Faith without works is dead." It's not how high you jump that counts, friend. It's how straight you walk when your feet hit the ground. The prophet-priest Samuel had a good testimony, as we saw this morning. "As for me," he said, and he was able to list his integrity, his humility, his faithfulness, his honesty, his compassion, the life that he lived day by day in the will of God. Verse 18 of 1 Samuel 12 we read, "So all the people stood in awe of the Lord and of Samuel." Oh, in these desperate days in the 21st century, how we need more people in the Christian church who have an authentic testimony, a testimony of a life lived so close to God and so powerfully in the will of God that people stand in awe of the Lord and of that person. Now that's a good testimony. The Apostle Paul too had a good testimony, as we saw in our passage this morning in Acts chapter 20. Just taking the succinct points this morning. Verse 18, the Apostle Paul says, "You know my life." Verse 19, he says, "You know my service." Verse 20, he says, "You know my message." In verse 22, "You know my mission." And verse 24, "You know my motivation." Now, friend, that's a good testimony. How do you and I measure up to that this morning? Is this your testimony, a good confession, a good testimony in your experience with Jesus Christ? Verse 18, "You know my life." Paul said, "My life has been like an open book from day one. There is absolutely nothing in my life that has been hidden from view. It's been open to inspection. There are no hidden agendas. There have been no false motives." Everywhere Paul went, he laid his life on the line, worked his fingers to the bone, not without criticism within it, from within. He was not a man-pleaser. He was not weak. He didn't preach the gospel for personal gain. He wasn't out to gain a reputation or position within the Christian church. No, the Apostle Paul was able to say, "You know my life." Can you say that this morning? "You know my life. My life too is like an open book. I live before God and others in transparency. You know my strengths, you know my weaknesses, and you know my life, how that I have sought to follow Christ with all my heart, day by day." What a powerful testimony that is, when you can say with the Apostle Paul, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." And then verse 19, "You know my service." Look at the characteristics of the Apostle Paul's service for the Lord Jesus, a service that was unfailing, unflagging in his service for the people of God and the proclamation of the gospel. How did he serve? He tells us, with great humility. Pride is often a problem, isn't it? It's a terrible problem when we want status or we want to exalt ourselves above others. The Apostle Paul was not like that. In his service, it wasn't showy. It wasn't to make a mark for himself. He was teachable. He was humble. He had a servant heart. Can you say today, "You know my service. I serve the Lord with utter humility." And then, "You know my deep emotion, my sincerity." Verse 19b, Paul refers to his tears. How often he wept over his converts, how often he wept over the things that he saw that were wrong in the churches that he had planted. The Bible says, "He who sows with tears will reap with joy." Can you say this morning, "You know my deep emotion, the passion and the sincerity of my service for the Lord Jesus Christ"? And then, thirdly, he said, "You know my severe testings that I have been through, my perseverance, my steadfastness." A transparent life will always be a tested life. Friend, a transparent life in the service of God will always be a tested life. And we have seen in these three missionary journeys how the Apostle Paul's life was tested again and again and again. But he persevered faithfully, steadfastly. When lesser saints would have given in and given up long ago, the Apostle Paul just kept on keeping on by the grace of God. I want to ask you this morning, do you have a good testimony as regards your service for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you able to say to people this morning, "Examine the service that I offer to the Lord and to his church"? And then, thirdly, you know my message, the Apostle Paul is saying. You know my life, verse 18. You know my service, verse 19. And verses 20 and 21 and verse 27, you know my message. Let's take a look at those verses again. You know that I've not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. And then in verse 27, just the same thing, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. What a powerful testimony. The Apostle Paul knows that he can say, you know my message. You know it's objective. Its objective, he says, has been to edify, to build up, to strengthen, to encourage. Is your message like that, friend? That you've not hesitated to edify, to build up, to strengthen, to encourage believers with anything that would be helpful? The word of God is given to us, Paul says to Timothy, for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness, so that the man and the woman of God may have all that they need to be all that God wants them to be. And this was Paul's objective, that the life of Christ might be seen in his converts. And his message was to build them up to maturity in the Christian faith. You know its objective, to edify and to build up, to strengthen, to encourage. You know its audience, he's saying, verse 20, both publicly in the synagogue, in the marketplace, in the lecture hall of Tyrannus, as we saw last time, a few thousand hours of discipling, of teaching, both Jews and Greeks. You know my message, its objective. You know its audience. I've not failed to share the good news with Jews and with Greeks at every opportunity. And then you know its content. Verse 21, it's the same message to Jews and to Greeks. It's a message of repentance toward God, calling upon people to change their minds and their hearts and their direction, to place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and to live for him, to profess their faith in baptism in water and to receive the Holy Spirit of God into their lives, to equip them, empower them, enable them for Christian service. I've not hesitated to declare the whole counsel of God, he says in verse 27. Paul didn't have some fifth gospel with all just promises and no commands, or some third way. No, there was no picking and choosing. Paul didn't have some particular hobby horse that he trotted out every time he preached. No, he was faithful to the word of God. You know my message. I have taught nothing but the truth as it is in Jesus. Can you say that this morning? You know my life. You know my service. You know my message. Fourthly, verse 22, you know my mission. Bound in the Holy Spirit, captivated, captured, constrained by the Holy Spirit, I'm going to press in and press on. I'm pressed out and driven. I'm compelled by the Holy Spirit of God. Like Martin Luther, Paul is saying, my soul is captive to the will of God. I can do no other. What a wonderful thing that since the Damascus Road experience, when the risen Jesus appeared to Saul of Tarsus on the road and he was wonderfully converted, and 3 days later, baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, like Jesus, from the day of his conversion, the Apostle Paul set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem, and nothing would dissuade him. He knew that persecution awaited him, trial and possibly death, but he believed that God would deliver him, because after Jerusalem was Rome, and all roads led to Rome, and therefore all roads led from Rome to the rest of the world, opportunities to share the good news to be on mission with Jesus everywhere, sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Paul is saying, has there ever been any doubt about the direction of my life? Friends, as they look at you, as they look at me, do they see a duality? Do they see that our life is actually being led in a few different directions? That sometimes it's a direction for God and the will of God, but other times it's a direction into the things of the world, or other times it's just a direction into self-centeredness? You know my mission, says the Apostle Paul. I've ploughed a straight furrow. I've gone in the same direction since the day of my conversion. I have followed Christ without wavering. There's never been any doubt about the direction of my life. I want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, be made like him in his death, so that ultimately I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Verse 23, in my mission, I'm ready. I'm ready to lay down my life, in fact, longing to share in the fellowship of Christ's sufferings, even though I know that prison and hardships await me. What a wonderful thing to be like the Apostle Paul, to know your mission, to know that you're a debtor, as Paul says, to Jews and to Greeks. We owe people the debt of sharing the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I don't have to remind you this morning that Christian church history is littered with the graves of the saints who, like the Apostle Paul, have been unswerving in their mission for the Lord Jesus Christ. In the early days when many missionaries were sent out from the England and Europe to West Africa, it became the grave known as the graveyard of missionaries. But so often, as in China and in so many countries, and even today, the blood of the martyrs is seed. You know my life, you know my service, you know my message, and you know my mission, and you know my motivation. Fifthly, look at verse 24 once again. I just find this such a challenging verse every time I read it. Paul says, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. The only real and eternal value in my life is in completing the task God has given me. What a powerful testimony, friend. Just like the Lord Jesus, who said at the end of a ministry of, well, a public ministry of just 3.5 years, he was able to say, Father, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work that you gave me to do. And so the Apostle Paul said, you know my motivation. I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given to me. The Philippians, he says, this one thing I do, forgetting what is past, reaching out to what lies ahead, I put all of my energies into this one thing, that I may finish the particular race that God has set me, and that I may attain the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Yes, you know my motivation. Paul's motivation was to know Christ and to make him known. Is that your motivation this morning? Is that mine? For the proclamation and defense of the gospel, Paul was willing to lay down his life from the day he met Christ on the Damascus Road 25 years ago. How appropriate this morning. Can you stand before the people in your congregation? Can you stand before the people in your office, your work situation? Can you stand before the students in your lecture room, or the pupils in your classroom, or wherever you are, whoever you are, can you stand up this morning and by the grace of God have an authentic, powerful testimony, and like the Apostle Paul, be able to say, you know my life, it's like an open book. You know my service, I serve the Lord with humility and sincerity and passion. You know my message. I fully and meaningfully communicate the good news about Jesus as God gives me opportunity. You know my mission, whether it's in the school, the university campus, whether it's in the workplace, the factory, the office, wherever it may be. You know my mission. I'm a witness to the Lord Jesus. I am Christ's ambassador. I live to seek first the kingdom of God and his right way for my life, and to share the good news with others. You know my mission. I'm a representative of the Lord Jesus, day by day. And my heart's desire is to see others coming to Christ as a result of hearing the good news. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the message of Christ. And finally, you know my motivation. My motivation is to complete the particular work the Lord Jesus has given to me. And everything I do is for the glory of God. The power of an authentic Christian testimony. May that be yours. May it be mine. Let us pray. Father, in the words of the hymn writer of old, we say, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Father, we thank you for the joy of being able to study the life of the Apostle Paul so clearly and so carefully and so fully. And we thank you for what we've learned once again this morning about the power of a Christian testimony. And we pray that each one of us who hear the sound of your voice through your word today and day by day may live with Christ-like integrity, purity, humility, and passion. May Christ be formed in us. Help us to keep on growing in the grace and experiential knowledge of Jesus. Shine your light into our lives, the light of the gospel, that we may shine that light into the lives of others. Lord, I pray your blessing upon all who have heard your word, your touch upon each person in their particular situation and station in life. You know each need. You know each challenge. Touch your people once again, we pray. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Heavenly Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee, filled with messages from thee. Take my
my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will